to read along with the lesson today. Please turn to Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin reading with verse 39 and read just a fairly short lesson. Luke 22, verse 39, "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." And I want to stop my reading there with verse 46, reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through verses 46. And I do want to, once again, I want to ask you to pray for myself and for the deacons of our church today as we work together in the administration of this ordinance, that we would do it in a way that God will be pleased, that we would all observe it today, that those of us that will observe it, that we would observe it in a way that God will be honored. This is very, as I said, this is very sacred, and what we are going to do here today is not to be taken lightly. This is something that we, as the Lord's church, that we do from time to time, that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself instituted and asked that we would carry it out for all of the years that He will see fit to leave, to allow time to go on and leave the church in the world. We are to perpetually observe this. I'm thankful to have had the privilege the last couple of days to meet with the Siloam Association. And we had a wonderful time and a wonderful meeting and just a great time in the Lord. We heard some wonderful preaching and wonderful reports. And I thought about there were just so many good things and positive things that could be said about the sermons that were preached. They were full of love and they were full of power, and they were some of them rebuking. I mean, just many, many good things in those sermons. And in the memorial sermon, Brother Delk preached a wonderful message. And in that, he spoke about the woman that is talked about in the 14th chapter of Mark, the gospel according to Mark, that took the precious ointment and put it up on the head of the Lord Jesus to beforehand prepare his body for the burying. And he made a wonderful point in that when Jesus said that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, that it would be told as a memorial for her or of her. He said that it would be told as a memorial because of what she had done. And today we are here in the observance of this ordinance known as the Lord's Supper or as communion. Both of those words are used. We are here today to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, but not only as a memorial to remember His person, but to remember what He did for us. And the elements that the Lord instructed us and taught us in His Word to use are designed to set forth that very thing, to symbolize today what the Lord did for us. Today we are observing one of two ordinances that the Lord left for His church. He left with us, and our missionary Baptist churches have held to this belief for many, many years now, that the Lord left with us the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and the ordinance of baptism. And I want to say today that they are gospel ordinances. They are gospel ordinances. And what I mean in that is that the two ordinances that the Lord left for His church symbolize the very facts and basis of the gospel: the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, although we are to never forget about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, this ordinance today and the nature of this ordinance today is truly not about His resurrection. It's about His death. That's what the Bible teaches us. But we do know and thank God that the Lord did resurrect from the dead. And the ordinance of baptism is the ordinance that truly symbolizes that. The Bible teaches us that those of us that have been saved and have been scripturally baptized, that when we went down into the water, it symbolized our death to sin. And when we were brought up out of the water, we were making a public testimony that we were going to walk in newness of life, just as when the Lord resurrected from the grave. And so these ordinances that the Lord designed and left for His church, they show to us all of these things. I want to remind you of this, that when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he told us very plainly what it is that we do when we observe this ordinance. And that is that we show the Lord's death until He comes. And that word there, and I believe it's very important that we think about what it is that we are doing today, because the word there, show, if you take that from the original language in which it was written in the Greek language, what that means is that by observing this, that we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And truly, actually, it goes all the way back to the same word that is used for preach. We preach the Lord's death until He comes by the observance of this ordinance. And so this is indeed very sacred and very solemn, as I said. Now, I wanted to make this one point today also, that we are here, as I've just said, to show the Lord's death until He comes, but we are not here today by the observance of this ordinance We are not here to show that the Lord is dead. We are here to show that he was dead. We're here to show that and set forth that there was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins. Now, if we go back into the reading lesson from the 22nd chapter of Luke, perhaps among the things that were written in the Gospels, perhaps this would give to us the most descriptive account of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it was that he was really feeling, what it was that he was truly experiencing. And I think it is important for us to note and to always remember that the Lord faced what we have read about in these scriptures there today. When he was there in Gethsemane, when he was praying just prior to his crucifixion, I want us to remember that he was facing these things as a man. The Lord did not use his deity. Brother Wheat mentioned deity this morning. The Lord did not use his deity to any advantage at all for himself. It's proven to us, I believe, in this agonizing prayer that he prayed. It's proven to us that he faced this as a human, just the way that you and I face things in life, because of the fact that the Bible tells us that there appeared an angel to strengthen him. You see, he didn't use his power. Jesus was God, but he was also man. And he was not half God and half man. He was all God and all man. And he did not use his divinity or his deity at all in this to strengthen himself or to give himself any advantage at all. He went there and he faced it as a man. And when it was drawing nigh to the time that he was going to be crucified, his soul began to agonize in him, and he needed help and he needed strength, just the same way that you and I all oftentimes need help and need strength. He sure did. I know that those of us that have been called to preach the gospel have a desire that when we stand to proclaim the holy word of God, that those who hear would be able to see in that what it is that we're trying to set forth. And I certainly came here today with a prayer on my heart that as I shared with you the things that God placed upon my heart today, that you would be able to see and get a glimpse of what's being spoken about and what's being symbolized here today. We need to see in this every time that we would partake of this and observe this. We need to see in it what it was that the Lord wanted us to see. We need to remember in this what it was that the Lord wanted us to remember. And we need to think upon the things that he suffered so that we could have the wonderful peace that we have in our souls. What a great blessing to be here today. Look at us. Look around today at what we have. Look around today at how that the Lord has blessed us. Not even so much what we see, but what we feel in our hearts today. those of us that have experienced the new birth, think about the great gift that God gave to us when He saved us by His grace. And we are here today, and many of us have experienced that. And I pray for those of you that have not, that you will before it's too late. But many of us have experienced that wonderful saving grace of God. And here we are today living in a time when we have freedom to worship the Lord according to the dictates of our own conscience and heart without the law interfering with us. We still have that freedom today. And here we are in this beautiful sanctuary that was built many years ago and dedicated as a house of worship for the Lord. And we're sitting here and we have nice clothes to wear and we have a comfortable setting today. And we have salvation, many of us, down in our souls today. But there was something that had to be done to purchase that. And as we look at these things and as we look at the blessings of God today, we need to be able to look and to see the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus there at the cross of Calvary that purchased what we can have today. I know this. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be where I'm at. And I wouldn't be doing the things that I'm doing if it had not been for the Lord Jesus Christ. If it had not been for His sacrifice, if it had not been for His death there on Calvary, if it had not been for His atoning blood, we'd be in our sins today. We'd have no hope at all of eternal life. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing else that can take away sin. Jesus Christ was the only one that could possibly make this sacrifice. Paul taught us in the Hebrew letter, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he spoke about the things that were done for years under the law. And he said those things were only a shadow of good things to come. That all of the animals that they sacrificed from the sacrifice that Abel made all the way down to the thousand offerings that Solomon offered up there on the brazen altar, and every animal that died in the years of the Mosaic economy and under the law could never take away our sins. It wasn't even possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. But Jesus could. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to his baptism, and he pointed him out by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." The blood of Jesus Christ can wash away sin. I don't know, to be honest with you, we may have prayed at times in our life. We may have prayed with great anguish of heart. I know I sure did the night that the Lord saved my soul. I prayed and cried out to Him with a heavy heart and a condemned heart and a heart that was crushed by sin. And many times since then, since we were saved, there no doubt have been many times when something burdened our heart to the point that we cried out before God and we agonized before Him in prayer. I'll tell you what, that's when things get done. It's not when we go through the format of prayer. It's when we agonize before the Lord in prayer, isn't it? But I'm not sure that we can really comprehend, or I know we can't fully understand what was happening with Jesus there as he separated himself from his disciples and he began to pray because he was facing not only physical death, but he was facing great spiritual calamity as well. He knew that the sins of the world were going to be placed upon him. Listen today, let's not ever forget that when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was carrying my sins. He was carrying your sins. He was carrying upon him the sins and had placed upon him the sins of mankind throughout all of time. And I know that we can't really understand that. I don't know, to be honest with you, other than what the scriptures tell us about the angels coming and strengthening him. To be honest with you, it's beyond my understanding how that the Lord withstood the things that he withstood in a human body. I mean, that's just beyond my comprehension. To know what he was facing, and it got down into his spirit, his soul, his heart, to the point where he just began to agonize before God in prayer. And we see another great concept of his humanity by him asking God if there's any other way, if it's possible. You know, think about the Son there praying before the Father. Think about how God the Father must have felt when his only begotten Son was praying before him. Think about how you would feel if your son or your daughter, if your child was begging you for mercy that way, saying, you know, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, please don't make me face this. If there's any other way, let this cup pass away from me. Mothers today, even from a human standpoint, just think about how Mary must have felt when she saw her son on the cross. The Bible says he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We've got a picture there in that shows us indeed that in the Godhead there are distinct persons. Jesus and his Father are one. One what? They're one God, aren't they? That was said in various places in the scriptures. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. They're one God, but they were also distinct and individual persons. And we see that within the Godhead, there are three persons within the Godhead. And we see that when Jesus said, Father, help me that I might align my will with your will. Not my will, but your will be done. I want you to know something today, friends, that Jesus did not die for us under obligation. He was not obligated to die for the likes of us. I I heard one time this preached that for those that come to the Lord seeking Him with all their heart, that because of what God has said in His Word, that for those that come seeking Him that way, that He's obligated to save them. And I'm sorry, I just don't agree. I believe everything that's done is done by God's grace, and nothing that He does for us is done under obligation. God's not obligated to us, and Jesus certainly wasn't obligated to us to face the things that He did, to suffer the things that He suffered, but He did it because He loved us and He chose to die for our sins. Nobody took His life. He gave it. He gave it. But you know, the things that I could say before you today, the things that I could preach before you today about this, would never begin to scratch the surface upon what the Lord was really feeling there in the garden. I do want to tell you something that I'm convinced of. I believe that He sweated blood. I've heard it said, and I'm not here today just to disagree with people. Please understand that. But I've heard it said that the Bible only says that His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. I'll tell you what I'm convinced and believe, that Jesus was there and He was in such agony inside that it came forth on the outside. It manifested itself on the outside. And I believe the Lord Jesus, as He prayed that agonizing prayer, that there was actual blood mingled with His sweat, dropping to the ground there in great drops. That's how much agony that He was really praying in, that His sweat was mingled with blood. I believe the Lord Jesus bled when He was scourged. I believe He bled when He was crowned with thorns. And by the time He got to the cross, Isaiah in chapter 52, towards the end of that chapter, Isaiah told us that His visage or His countenance or His appearance was marred more than any. And in all of His suffering, in all of His pain, in all of His weakness, there was even a time when He hung on the cross completely alone. Let me ask you something. How would you like to be alone? How would you feel? How would you feel if you cried out to God? Think about the times in your life when you prayed. How would you feel if you cried out to God and He wasn't there? How would you feel if you were reaching out to God for help and you couldn't get it and He wasn't there? And yet the Lord hung on the cross, and there was a time that He was completely alone and forsaken, hanging there alone. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? The things that He continued through and the things that He faced, in that he displayed a love for us, that it's no wonder the Apostle Paul wrote that it's a love that passes understanding. I don't get it, do you? I don't understand it, do you? I can't understand today for the life of me why the Lord loved me. I really can't. I know that he did. I understand that he did, and I know that the Lord did love me, but I don't know why. I know this, that it was nothing that he saw in me that made him love me, because there's certainly nothing good about me. He loved the human race just because he did. His love is unconditional. Unconditional. There is no certain condition about us that made the Lord love us. He just loved us for reasons that perhaps only eternity will reveal to us. But I'm sure glad he did. I'm sure glad that he did. So today, as we observe this ordinance, to show his death until he comes, once again, we remember the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this, that we as Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, we observe this ordinance among the members of our church. I want you to know that if you are visiting with us today, that we never do that, and it's not our desire to be offensive to anyone, but we are trying to do what we believe the Bible teaches us to do. And so we observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper among those that are members of the church here at Fairview Memorial. So here in a moment, I'm going to ask the deacons if they would to prepare the table.